Hallelujah. Well, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and we'll begin with verse 16. I'm going to share something with you tonight that I believe that will be helpful for you. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures here tonight on this particular subject. But it says in John 14, 16, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And we see here, first of all, Jesus is speaking. We see he's going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so what you have here is a revelation or a disclosure of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm bringing this up for you tonight, not because I want to just... I am concerned that there are people in the body of Christ that don't know about this, and there are actually churches, denominations that do not believe in the Trinity, and that to me is a sad thing because they miss out on so much. But as a Christian, throughout my life, I've had numerous Christians that have approached me and tried to persuade me to not believe in the triune Godhead. And they said that there's no such thing as a Father and a Holy Spirit. Those are simply names for Jesus. And, of course, they take their proof text from Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God is one God. But if you look at the context there, you're actually seeing an admonition to worship the one true God and not the false gods of the countries that the Israelites are getting ready to go into. This really has no comment whatsoever on whether there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or not. And so I want to just encourage you tonight that there are a lot of different ideas about the triune Godhead, the Godhead. The word Trinity, actually, they say that. They say it's not found in the Bible, so therefore we can't believe in that. And I grant you the word Trinity is not found. Triune is not found in the Bible, but the concept is there. I mean, even though there's some things in the Bible that don't have a name, it's not there by name, but it's there by concept. And so I want to encourage you to not just believe in something that's there by name, but believe in something that's in the Word that's there as a concept. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But you see, the concept is there. Isn't that right? Now, if you talk in the King James Version, of course, grandfather's not mentioned either. The word grandfather's not there, but they are mentioned. They talk about, you know, their father's father or something like that. But, you know, if you want to go strictly by whether something's mentioned or not, then grandfathers don't exist either. But we know better, don't we? I are one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the word God, typically what we think as people who believe in the Trinity, we think that that refers to the Father. But, you know, really, the word God could refer to the Father. It could refer to the Son, and it could refer to the Holy Spirit because they're all equally God. And so we have to realize that whether we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be disappointed that Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is here, and you know we really would prefer Jesus. We don't have to be disappointed because one who's like him, Jesus said, is coming to take his place in the earth. And that he called him the Helper or the Holy Spirit in verse 26 of that chapter. And so the Holy Spirit is everything that Jesus is. And, of course, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are everything that the Father is. They're all equally God. So when we say God, then you have to look at the context to see which one might be being referred to specifically. Sometimes it's not, neither one is being referred to specifically, and so we have to recognize that. And so then the reason I'm bringing this up is that there are so many different ideas about God. The more we understand God, who he really is, the better we can believe, the better we can have faith in him. Amen? You know, some people think that that God is one person and he's got multiple personalities. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are just different personalities that one person has. And I just have to tell you that God does not have a disorder of any kind. Okay? I'm not making fun of it. I'm just simply saying God it does not have a disorder of any kind. Some believe that, as we mentioned, that Jesus makes up the totality of the Godhead. And then there are some others that believe that the Father and the Son are actually distinct persons, but the Holy Spirit is just simply the influence of those two. And that the Holy Spirit is really not a person. Now, that I would just have to say this, that when Jesus, if you read John chapter 14, 15, and 16, you'll find that Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit many times, and he used, at least in my account, in the level of English that I know, that I learned in school, at least 19 different personal pronouns, and in reference to the Holy Spirit, indicating that he's a person. And so we have to realize then that there are many churches today that believe in the Trinity on paper, but not necessarily have any clear idea about the Godhead and so forth. And I'm just telling you, many churches. I was there in church. If you would have asked me the first 20 years of my life whether I believed that there was a Holy Spirit, did you know there's a Holy Spirit? I would have said, a what? Now, the only time I heard about the Holy Spirit in the first 20 years of my life that I know about was at the end of the service. They said something in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking, I was always glad to hear that because that meant the service was about over. I didn't know what it meant. They mentioned something in the name of the Father, Son, the benediction. They gave the benediction. And so, anyway, I was just glad to hear it. I didn't know what it meant, but I was glad to hear it because I could go out and play ball. But anyway, so we have to realize, Acts chapter 19, you know, they don't have to go there or anything, but you read the first couple of verses, Paul said to those people that he met, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we have not so much as heard there is one. And there, I'm just sharing with you, there are a lot of good people sitting in churches today that do not even, they're oblivious to they have never been taught that there is a Holy Spirit to be had, to live on the inside, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit help you in life. And so I'm going to just go through a couple of scriptures real quickly and let you know some things. Proof text that of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, and then we'll get into something else here. But the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we'll start there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word God right there is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it is the plural form of the word Eloah, which many Bible scholars indicate that's there, showing from the very first word that's mentioned, time God's mentioned in the Bible, that is referred to in the plural, which indicates the triune Godhead. And so we have that one. And then in the Great Commission, we see the three persons of the Godhead mentioned, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I always thought it was interesting. Jesus said that, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. But you know, right after that verse, he left and went to heaven. He ascended back to heaven. So when I first started looking into the Bible, I thought, how can that be? I'm with you always, but he left. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit here tonight. And then over in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, at Jesus' baptism at the River Jordan, we can see the three persons of the Godhead mentioned or revealed. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens were open. Notice that Jesus was the one praying. It says, the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended like in the form of a dove upon him. So we see the Holy Spirit coming down. Jesus is in the river praying. And it says, and a voice from the heaven which said, you are my beloved son, I am well pleased. So we see the Father speaking from heaven, Holy Spirit descending, Jesus is in the River Jordan. In Paul's teachings, you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Ephesians 2, 18, you can see this also, that Paul teaches that there is a triune Godhead. He said this, for through him, and that's referring to Jesus, the him is, that he's talking about is Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See, Paul wasn't mixed up at all. He had an understanding of the triune Godhead. And then over in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, in the closing of that particular letter, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So we see there that God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are mentioned. So those are just a few scriptures that we can look at and say, okay, those are the scriptures that show that there's a triune Godhead, three persons that make up the Godhead. One God, but three persons. And so the question always comes, how can there be three persons and yet one God? And the best that I can come up with, and yet you know that every analogy has similarities to the real that we're talking about, and there are dissimilarities also. In other words, it doesn't always cover every detail. But the best analogy that I can give you is that there's one Marvin Yoder family. Well, there's many, number of them, but Marvin, one Marvin Yoder family here tonight, okay? But there's distinct people within that Yoder family. My wife, myself, and my children, okay? And so, yet, there's just one Yoder family. You see what I'm saying? And so, we have to realize then that the that this can show us that God can be one and yet three. Okay? The same way we're one family, but yet we're now five. And it used to be perfect. I taught this someplace when we only had one child, so we were the Trinity family. You know, because father, mother, and child, you know. But that's okay. The children. Now that we have five children, I'm not sure, but we're the perfect family for whatever we are now. All right. And so, Yoders. By the way, you know, Yoders is a common name in the Amish community. It's like Smith everywhere else. And so, somebody asked me one day, said, "What would happen? What would you have if they took all the Yoders out of the Amish community?" I said, "What would we have?" And they told me, they said, "You'd be deodorized." All right. Some of you woke up. You've been waiting for something. Now you got something, okay? All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It tells us this, for as the body is one and has many members. How many of you know the body of Christ is one? But it has many members. And this is a picture of the way things are in heaven. You see, you have one God, many, three members of the Godhead. We have one body here on earth, Christ's body here on earth, but we have many members. And the thing is that it's amazing how that we can have that. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And so the body is one body, but many members. And so that, again, is an earthly picture. So our conclusion is that there is one God, but consisting of three persons. And now I want to get into just why this is so important on a practical level. You know, you could go away from here and say, Marvin taught you some doctrine tonight, but I want you to understand why this is important for you in your daily life. And so I want to share some things with you about that. Now, the Godhead is one in harmony and purpose, but they have different functions. You see what I'm saying? They're all God. They're all this. I mean, one is as much God as the other, but they have different functions. If you look at God the Father, he sits on the throne in heaven. Amen. He sits on the throne in heaven, and there he rules. The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and there he ever intercedes for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus is interceding for you? How many of you believe Jesus' prayers are answered? Glory to God. Amen. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he works in our lives doing whatever the Word says as we believe it. Amen. He says he speaks to us what he hears the Father and the Son say from heaven. Amazing. And so we have that God, they're all God, but yet they have different functions. For example, God, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:10 that God the Father made the new covenant. He made the new covenant. He said, I will make with the house of Israel, a covenant with the house of Israel after those days. And he's talking about the new covenant. He make that. But you see in 1 Timothy 2:5, you see where it says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. So they had both had a part in it. Isn't that right? And we see that the Holy Spirit in John 14, he is our helper, or he ministers to us so that we can walk in that new covenant. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all involved in the new covenant, and yet they're all to help us. They're all helping us. Father made it, Jesus mediator, Holy Spirit ministers it to us and helps us to with that. And so having said all of that, I want to share this with you, that we know that the Father, the Bible says the Father sits in heaven on the throne, the Father's at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit, where's he at? He's right inside of you. He's in the earth, but specifically dwelling in the heart of believers. Isn't that right? And so we have to realize that. But on the other hand, now here's where it all kind of goes beyond our anything that we can explain. We know that what the Bible says, Father on the throne, Jesus at the right hand, Holy Spirit in you. Now get this. They're all omnipresent. What does that mean? They're everywhere. You say, what did you say? I'm trying to keep my head from spinning. They're everywhere. They're omnipresent. They're not. There's no place in the earth or in heaven that they're not. All three of them. That's where it goes beyond our minds. And our ability to explain all of that. I don't have an analogy to cover all of that. How can you fully in human terms explain the omnipresence of God, God being everywhere? It's amazing. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. Now, we're not suggesting that we're getting into something that is, you know, in seminary they call it pantheism, where God is in everything. We're not suggesting that at all, but we are knowing, acknowledging the fact the psalmist said, "Where can I go that your spirit is not there?" Amen. And so we have to realize that. So we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is here, but he's also in heaven. But he focuses his activities here. Jesus is in heaven and he focuses his activities there, but you know, he's really everywhere, but his activities are there. And the Father the same way. Now, what does that mean? That means that God is both there and here. And in seminary, you would call it this way, that he is transcendent, but he's also immanent. That he is there and he's here. He's over all, yet he's also here. I said all of that to tell you this tonight. It's possible for God to rule over everything that exists. He's large enough, big enough, great enough, powerful enough, mighty enough, strong enough to rule over everything. You do not have to worry that somebody's going to upend God and take over his throne. It's just not going to happen. Nobody can ever even come close to comparing with God. Whether you're talking about Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, nothing that exists. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God holds everything, the universe, in the span of his hand. Just take your hand and stretch it as far as you can, and just look at that span of your hand. Imagine God putting everything that's created, everything that exists, and putting it between the end of your thumb and the end of your finger. God can do that. That's how big he is. He's amazing. Tremendous. He doesn't have to get concerned that somebody's getting close to being God. Nobody will ever be God except him. There are no gods except him. Nobody can be like him. And I have to tell you, that is comforting to know that the God that we serve cannot be defeated, cannot be overcome. That he's strong no matter what. He's always strong. He's never weak. You understand that God is over all. He is above all. He's supreme. He's superior. He surpasses everything. Amazing God. Absolutely awesome. Majestic. You don't have enough human adjectives. If you put all the adjectives in every language and put them all together and say, we're trying to describe God, you can't get there. You can't totally describe God. Amazing. That's the God we have. He's over all. I grew up hearing this, that God is mighty, or God is almighty, but the devil is mighty. And I got this idea, God is almighty, but the devil's right on his heels because he's mighty. And we just don't know. Maybe sometime the enemy might, you know, he got defeated the first time, but I think he's trying again, maybe a win this time. You know, it's not going to be a there won't be a rematch. The devil thinks there might be one. But God laughs about that idea. No, God, he's over all. You hear all these reports, the earth is running out of resources. You know, there's holes in the ozone layer and the global warming, and it's just concerned that the earth is going to it's just not going to last. What are we going to do? And then there's people that are concerned about the population being, you know, it's crossed 7 billion now. And we just can't see how the earth can sustain many more people than that. And there are people that really believe that there's something should happen to some of the population so that the earth can sustain the rest. And I just have to tell you, there is a God in heaven who put it all together. And he did not plan wrong. He did not look around when the human population, you know, crossed the 7 billion mark, and he said, "Jesus, I only planned for 7 billion, and they've crossed the line. There's only enough resources in the earth for 7 billion people. We have got to do something. Call a board meeting." God did not plan wrong. So here's the thing. You can put your confidence in God. That kind of God. He planned right. He provides abundantly. He is powerful over all. Why is that? He's transcendent. He's above all that's created. I put my confidence in God. But here's the rest of the good news. He's also immanent. What does that mean? He's within. He's inherent. What does that mean? That he's inside of you. He lives inside of you. He's there. He's over all, but he's also here. He's also in you. He said that he abides in you forever. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and the Spirit lives inside of you. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again, because you got to get the revelation. The Holy Spirit came into you the moment you got born again, but the way many Christians act, he must have come empty-handed. Or at least that's what they think. They don't realize that he came with all of his power. He came with all of his wisdom. He came with all of his knowledge. He came with all of his ability. He came with everything that he has. And he's inside of you with his gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. He's got it all. He brought it all. What does that mean? Your help and whatever you need is not far away. He said, "But Brother Yoder, I don't know what to do." Your answer's closer than you think. Here's why. The Holy Spirit lives in you. But in your head, you don't know what to do. Do you realize that your answer is only about 20 inches away? Your answer is only 20 inches away from you knowing it. Isn't that amazing? The God who's over everything, the God who's more powerful, the God who's greater than all, and yet he's chosen to live inside of you, and he's willing to share what he has with you freely. Freely gives it to you. Why? Because he loves you. He set this all up. He said, "I'm not going to give up my place over everything. I am supreme." But he said, "I want to be with my creation, my people, the one that I love." And so he set it up so that he could live right inside of you and still live overall. Would you stand to your feet? I'm just telling you tonight that the God in heaven, he may be in heaven, but he's not far away. He's also here. He's also here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all equally God, here tonight, right here. Holy Spirit here, flowing, ministering what he hears from heaven. Amazing. Just worship him just a moment. Just begin to thank him because he is so overall, but he's so here. God is greater than everything, but he's also closer than anyone. I want you to get that. God is greater than everything, but he's also closer than anyone. God is greater than everything, but he's also closer than anyone. He's willing to help. Are you willing to let him help you? Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. Are you willing to let God the Holy Spirit help you? If that's the case, I want you to slip a hand up and just let God know. Say, God, I'm helpless unless you help me. But I want to thank you that the helper is here. The helper is here. The helper is here. The helper is here. He's here in this place, right here in this room. Why is he here? Because you're here. He's here to help you. Would you give him right now where you're at? Give him the situation. Just give that to him. Say, you're my helper. Here, help me with this. Please help me with this. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now let's lift up our hands. It's that simple. Just lift your hands up and thank him right now. He's here with you. Bible says, Jesus said, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. How is he? How can he say that when he left? Because he's here by the Holy Spirit who shares with you what Jesus would say if he was here in person. The Bible says this, he abides with you forever. You don't have to worry where God's at. He's right here. He's here. He's here. He's in you. Put your hand on your, just right here, kind of on your belly area, right here, and just say, he's here. Now say this, he's here in me. In me. Right here. All the time. Good times, bad times, tough times, easy times, he's always here. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands to the God who's also in heaven and just give him praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are ruling over everything. And yes, you are here to help us too. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're certainly... There is in my word revelation that you need. And so it is, as my revelation come forth, says the Lord, showing who I am, that you may put your trust in me. And then you'll be able to flow and walk in the plans I have for you. So do not look to the left, to the right, or somewhere around you, but look into my word, for therein lie the answers that you need. And yea, even my spirit who lives within shall speak to you and show you that which you need to know. So put your confidence in me, says the Lord, and you will begin to see those things that you desire, those things that are in your heart. Do not take them in your own hands and try to do those things. No. But leave them with me, for I am your helper, says the Holy Spirit, and I will bring you through into those very things. That which didn't seem could be helped, I will easily help. That which couldn't be changed, I can change. That which didn't seem to be able to be reached, I can reach. That which I could not seem to be accomplished, I can accomplish. That obstacle that's in the way, I can remove. Oh, put your confidence in me, says the Lord, for there is mighty things that I desire to do in you. Now let's lift our hands up and thank the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. There's somebody here tonight. Just have this one. There's somebody here tonight. The Lord spoke to me about you this afternoon. The doctors told you need foot surgery. If you're here tonight, and it's not something you've imagined. It's something the doctors have told you. You need foot surgery. I don't know what that means, but if you're here tonight, we want to minister to you, pray for you. If you'll come quickly, we'll pray for you wherever you're at. And so come. If the doctors have told you that you need foot surgery, and there's at least one person here like that tonight, I know that, that needs foot surgery to correct whatever's there. It may not be a crisis, but there's something wrong, and the doctor said you'll need surgery to correct that. We want you to pray. We want to pray for you wherever you are. Hallelujah. We'll wait just a moment. Wait just a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come. The Lord wants to minister to you. He does not ever want to reveal anything but what he wants to minister to you and help you. The Holy Spirit is here to help you tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you have something that you know is wrong with your foot? You got something the doctors talked to you about? All right. Just stand right there. Anybody else? You got something wrong with your foot? The doctors told you that you need surgery to correct it. Just come and stand over here beside this lady. Anybody else? You got another person coming? Okay. All right. You're brave people for coming up. Everybody knows you got a foot problem now, right? Sorry. All right. But that's okay. Slip over on that side. That way I can get to you. Okay. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that are here right now? I want to talk to you just a moment. How many of you believe that the Lord can help fix your feet? Amen. I want you to get your eyes on the Holy Spirit again, over the one who's over all and the one who also lives in you. He's not only above all and up there, all powerful, but he's also here, right here, to help you in Jesus' name. Just begin to say, thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for healing my foot. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We let that anointing, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to help these people and their feet. And not only that, Holy Spirit, but also there's other things that some of these people need. And I ask that you help them not only with their feet, but you help them with those other things in the name of Jesus. 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 Healing power flowing in your foot right now, in your body. Healing power flowing. Just let him minister to you. Just let him. Healing power. Yep, it's touching your feet. That's flowed from the... Yep. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit ministers in a very powerful way. Sometimes it's very gentle. And so it's just... But I know this much. The Holy Spirit ministers in the way that the person can receive it. In the name of Jesus. See there? It's flowing. Yep, there it is. Hit your feet right there. in the name of Jesus. Tell you how you do it. You put your hands like this. It's right there. You're in touch with the Holy Spirit now, right? In the name of Jesus, let the power flow, Holy Spirit. Just let the power flow. Heal his feet. Not only that, but take care of the other things too in his life. In Jesus' name. There it is. Yep, yep. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just, all right, now, you begin to move your feet and begin to, I don't know if you can tell a difference in what you were doing before you came up, but anyway, are you ready? Do you believe the Holy Spirit will fix your feet? Right there it is, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to fix your feet? Thank you, Lord. Now, Kevin, did you have pain in your feet? Broken? In the name of Jesus, are you ready? Are you really ready? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Just let him minister to you. Now, you like it?
Yep.
Huh? You like that? What was wrong?
Bone spur.
Bone spur? And it hurt, didn't it?
Yep.
What about now? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now lift your hands up to the God of heaven. Whew. All the way. There it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but I sense the Holy Spirit directing me to say, fill him up afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oops. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands up and thank God. Healing power is flowing in Jesus' name. Amen. We got the prayer team coming, and they're going to be ready to pray for if you have other needs of any kind. We want they're here to pray for you, the men on this side, the ladies on this side. And then I want those of you that are connection team members, if you would simply go find those people that are here, our guests for the very first time. Would you give them a great big hand, those that are guests? And glory to God. And take those guests and get them that gift that's been prepared for them. First-time guests, we want to say thank you for coming. We trust that you received something from the Lord tonight. And we invite you to come back, make this your home away from home. From or your church home. If you're not from here, then make it your home away from home. And we welcome you to the church family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with a few people. Let them know that you appreciate them. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor Hagen will be here, I believe. And you're dismissed.